Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. A Christian friend recently posted a statement declaring God wins, and I say amen to that. He included a statement that said, quote, "No matter if Satan currently rules the world, God always wins," end quote. Now that statement struck me as typical of what virtually all Christians believe today. It is very likely that you believe this also, or some version of this, that amounts to the idea that Satan is the power driving the world today. Now, my analysis of this is going to surprise many of you. For those familiar with my new book, God's War, my agreement with the statement will surprise you, because I do agree with it, but with a caveat. For those unfamiliar with my book, God's War, my disagreement with the statement is going to surprise you. So, hey, how can I both agree and disagree? Well, you'll see. And as Rush would say, trust me on this, this discussion is vital, critical. Christians need to be talking about this right now, because getting this sorted out can make the difference in November 2020. It can mean we stand up and reclaim our land of the free and home of the brave, or lose our liberties. The commies are coming. The commies are coming. Remember when this was used to mock conservatives, warning about the encroachment of communist ideology in our political and social institutions? Well, what do you have to say now? The commies are here, friend. Let's talk about the Bernie Buttigieg revolution. And by the way, no one seems to be willing to point out the fact that Buttigieg is married to a man. Now, why would that matter? And why do we pretend it doesn't? Who are Bernie supporters contrasted to Trump supporters? Why does the MSM hate Trump supporters? Well, I'll tell you a little secret. A lot of it is because they didn't know we were out there in such numbers. And it has really unsettled them, my friends. Bernie supporters burn an American flag outside of a Trump rally, deeply offending, angering millions of patriots and servicemen and women who fought for the liberties symbolized by that flag. And then another guy burns an LGBTQ flag, offending queers. By the way, that's their own word for themselves. Calm down. Okay, anyway, this guy gets 16 years in prison. Well, I hope Trump pardons him. And what's the justice in that? Get off meth and do the math. But really, when you do the math on Bernie's plan for America, the truth comes out. God, that is truth, is in the details on this one, my friend. Pete Buttigieg still hasn't made it into the spell check family of words here. I notice focuses his campaign against Christian conservatives. Yeah, all the other Democrats are campaigning against one another, and all of them, of course, taking shots at Trump and so on. But Buttigieg directly assaults the faith of conservative Christians. That's interesting. Bloomberg makes the only great line he had in the debate, and that is that the only person winning that Democratic debate was Donald Trump. Surprisingly, he got applause for that statement. But then he made the mistake of denouncing communism, and the audience is aghast and boos him. Now, this shows the serious dissociative identity disorder afflicting the DNC today. And I know what that disorder is, and I'm purposely repurposing the language. Anyway, you'll see in a few minutes. But I think Warren pretty well took Bloomberg out of the race. I mean, that is, if Bloomberg needed anybody's support to continue. Bernie's right about one thing. Bloomberg, it appears, actually believes he can buy the presidency. He thinks just throw enough money at it, and it's his. FBI is losing credibility and public trust. The first signs of a landslide of public trust began when the FBI refused under Obama to seriously investigate Hillary and her 33,000 missing emails and her destruction of her server after she was subpoenaed to turn it over. Anybody else doing that would be in prison today, but not Hillary. Why? But now the whole mountain is beginning to slide down the hill for the FBI. Barr had better do something and do it quickly if he hopes to restore American confidence in our chief law enforcement agency. And my friends, I found a way to get libs to join us in our resistance to racist Margaret Sanger's institution, Planned Parenthood, and their practice of selling body parts of aborted babies. It's been discovered that Planned Parenthood has been selling baby body parts to the National Institute of Health for research, and they're using these baby body parts to humanize mice. That's outrageous! That's a violation of the rights of mice! They're infringing upon the inalienable right of mice! I can just hear it now. And I'm not likely to get to all of it, but friends, it is time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic. a gourmet meal for the mind.
A Christian friend recently posted a statement declaring God wins. And as I pointed out, he included a statement that said, quote, no matter if Satan currently rules the world, God always wins, end quote. Now, this is what virtually every conservative Bible-believing Christian believes today. And by the way, it's totally understandable. Who can look at the world and not see Satan's influence is the controlling influence, the dominant influence in almost, well, the entire world. The Bible says Satan is the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. And who cannot see that the children of disobedience control virtually every government on the planet and is very rapidly gaining control of America? Now, I said in my intro that my analysis of this would surprise many of you. And let me say at the outset, this is a conversation that we need to have with one another today. We need to tweak the heathen with the declaration of the truth of what I'm going to bring out. But we need to get together on this. So let me lay it out. Do you believe Satan is the rightful ruler of the world? That it is, by default, his? I mean, do you believe God has ordained that at this time, Satan will rule the world and his evil men will rule the kingdom of men, and therefore they have divine authorization to rule the world? God is allowing this, it's believed, as a current situation, but he will end it when his son returns to earth to set up his kingdom, right? Now, you're not alone in that, because many worthy and effective Christians in the past have believed this. They have believed and many do believe that Satan and evil men are allowed by God to rule until the coming day of his kingdom. And there's some truth in that, but it's the lie that's resting in that statement that needs to be exposed. Support for this notion is usually taken from statements in scriptures such as, Satan is God of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4, and the repeated statements by Jesus that Satan is the prince of this world, John 12:31, 14:30, and 16:11. And the word prince translates archon, which means chief ruler or magistrate. Let's take the first proof text first. 2 Corinthians 4:4, Satan is indeed God of this world. You've read the verse that says of heretics that their God is their belly, Philippians 3:9. Does that make the belly of man God? Or did these men make their own belly their God? You understand? Even though men make a god of their belly, that does not make their belly God. The Moabites worship Moloch, but that did not make Moloch God over the Moabites. You understand this? It's a usurper. It's a false god, not true. It is true that the world hated God's son and rejected him, and today refuses to bow to him as Lord. But that does not mean he is not their Lord. In truth, he is Lord. And the fact that the world has chosen Satan as their god, lowercase g by the way, does not make Satan, capital G, God. God is the one who made the world, and Jesus said that he bought it. So he owns it twice. The world belongs to God. The statement that Satan is God of the world is not a concession from God that Satan has won, and certainly not a statement from God that Satan has been appointed by him or given the status as God of the world. It means the world worships Satan and not God, just like the Moabites worship Moloch and not the true and living God. Of course, the worship of Moloch was the worship of Satan. Isaiah repeatedly said that there is no God but the Lord God. He said, before me, as Jehovah, there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. This tells you that there's not going to be any God made ever. Satan was not made God by God. God did not make Satan God. But men, rejecting the true God, turned their worship over to Satan and so set him up as their God. But he is no God. Look, God said, there is no God, I know not any. And of course, in the context, he's other than himself. 2 Corinthians 4:4 acknowledges a fact. Men worship Satan as their God, not the lie that Satan truly is God. That is exactly, however, what Satan wants Christians to believe, that he is God of the world, and that Christians have no place in this world, and they need to shut up, sit down, and leave him alone. And that's exactly what he wants, but that is a lie. As for the three times that Jesus acknowledged Satan as prince of this world, well, that is different. God did turn the kingdoms of the world over to Satan at one time. This is a biblical principle. When men are corrupted through sin, Satan gains access to justifiably accuse them before God and can move God to release them into his power. And that's what God does. He gives them up, Romans 1:17 through the end of the chapter. And with nations, he turns them into hell, Psalm 9:17. So there is no doubt that Jesus is acknowledging the truth, of course, when he identified Satan as the prince, archon, ruler, magistrate of this world. But what did Jesus say about this prince of this world? You know, it's so weird to me how some believers read scripture. It's weird. It's almost as if Satan's seducing spirits are the ones guiding their mind as they read, rather than the spirit Christ gave us, who's commissioned to guide us to truth. You see, they read these verses that Satan is prince of the world, and that's all they see. And they don't pay attention to the context of these statements or even what Jesus is actually saying. For example, in the first statement recorded in John, Jesus prophesies, quote, "Now shall the prince of this world be cast out," end quote. Now. You see, he had turned his face toward Jerusalem. He was headed to Calvary, where we're told in the epistles that he spoiled all principality and power, and Jesus declared, "Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." What was he referring to? His death on the cross when he would spoil all principality and power. The words "cast out" mean, well, cast out. In context, he would be cast out of this world. He would be demoted. He would no longer continue to be the divinely appointed prince of this world. What was given to him was going to be taken away from him. Next, Jesus declared the prince of this world was coming. And he said that this prince of the world had no part in him, hath nothing in me, quote unquote. There is no correspondence between the Satan and Christ. There is no affiliation. There is nothing that connects them. There's nothing in Christ that Satan has any claim to whatsoever. There's nothing through Christ that he has any claim to. And Satan has no place in Christ's kingdom, power, or authority. Now, this is important. Satan has no place in Christ or through Christ. The last time Satan is referred to as prince of this world, in John 16:11, it is in a context in which Jesus is saying, the prince of this world is judged. Remember that in the beginning of Christ's ministry, Satan could boast that all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them were given to him. Somebody said, well, he's just lying. Well, was he? Who did he get it from? The only being that has the prerogative and right is God. According to Daniel, the Lord God rules over the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. Satan could never get his hands on it unless God released it to him. You read Daniel 10, you'll see Satan fighting God's angels for control of kingdoms on this earth. That's what it's about. Read it and pay attention. However, Satan finally did succeed at corrupting men to the point that God released the kingdom of men into the power of Satan. So he boasted that all the kingdoms of the world were given to him. However, when Christ arose from the grave, Jesus declared, "All power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth." And the word he used there for power is exousia, which means right to rule or authority. It all had been given to him. Didn't he already have it? Don't you understand? Satan had it. Jesus came and defeated him and took it back. What does it mean that Jesus spoiled all principality and power if it does not mean he spoiled all principality and power? And you know about the spoils of war? He conquered Satan and took what was his into his own power. And these declarations are about something he had already done. Believe me, friends, Satan does not want you to wake up to this truth. He doesn't want you to be woke. Satan has no right to rule the world today. He does. Yes, he does effectively have control over almost all of it, including here in America today. But he doesn't have the right. He does not have the exousia. He does continue to have influence. He does exercise a measure of dunamis, power, to effect his will in the world. But he only gains that power when we yield to him. He does not have the right. Any authority he has in the world, he has taken it by force. So Jesus said they do. They take the kingdom by force. And that's what the Democrats are trying to do right now. I tell you what, Bernie's supporters are a violent mob. So here is something else Satan does not want you to understand. You have greater dunamis than he does. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. Christ gave you his Holy Spirit, and with his Spirit comes power, dunamis, and he gave us both dunamis and exousia over the kingdom of Satan. That's what the Bible teaches. We have power over the kingdom of Satan, but we don't use it. The next time you read about Satan being a prince is in Ephesians 2 verse 2, where he is called the prince of the power of the air. He is no longer prince of the exousia of earth, all right? He is, however, the prince of the exousia of the air, and he works his will in the world through those that he can take captive at his will. That's because they are children of disobedience. They refuse Christ's rule. Do you? These are the people that rage against God and against his son, who said, "Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." Psalm 2. These are the citizens of this world under Christ's authority who rebel against that authority and say, quote, "We will not have this man," referring to Jesus, "to reign over us," end quote. Luke 19:14, see 12-27, the whole passage there. We are called upon to resist this power. Ephesians 6:10 to 20. We wrestle against these principalities and powers. And we are promised that if we submit to God, which would include accepting his son as Lord, acknowledging he is Lord of heaven and earth, and then resist the devil, the Bible says he will flee. Satan wants you to be ignorant of this. He wants you to think, oh, well, the world belongs to Satan, and pass the popcorn and watch this bad movie till it's over. But someone is going to get hold of this. They're going to understand that the only influence Satan has in this world has been yielded to him by God's own faithless servants, whose faithless perversity has them actually siding with Satan and supporting his strongholds in our land. They are actually working on his side to continue his control of nations and men by this false belief. Rise up, Christian soldiers. Learn your place in this battle. Learn how to wrestle against the powers and principalities and effectively to rout the devil. Learn how to make him flee. Start by getting my book, God's War. And I can almost see it out there right now. Some Christians today are so pathetic. They're so weak. Satan comes along and neutralizes all the truth I just put out there, saying in their prideful heart, well, see, there it is. He just wants to sell a book. Unbelievable. I rebuke you. I rebuke that foul spirit and the weak, sniveling Christians who submit to such seducing spirits. Look, and I'll offer you a free summary of the book that provides the essential message and call to action that you need. And it's free. Okay? By the way, I'm happy to give it to you. Go to godswar2020.com. Yes, all one word, you know the drill there. godswar2020.com. You might have to put the www there to get directed to the site. At that place, you can order your free book. And you get it instantly, by the way. Now, if you're not one of those that I call ox muzzlers, and you have enough clarity in your spirit to understand the truth of what I'm saying, then you should get the book and get the whole message. Go to godswar2020.com and enlist in the battle for America today. Hold on to the break. I'll be right back. Folks, I've gone a bit long in this segment. We're going to skip the break and just roll right along.
Stand by. Five, the Brain four, Massage Show three, is about to blow your mind.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter. Lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that will steal from you your liberties. The commies are coming. The commies are coming. Remember when liberals mocked conservatives, when we warned about the encroachment of communist ideology into our political and social institutions, especially in education and now in our churches and government? Well, what do you say now? The commies are here. Good. In 1966, a country group called Tommy Jones and the Hayriders put out a song titled, "The Commies Are Coming." Get a taste of this.
The commies are coming. They've just been invited.
Wow, now that's a moldy oldie. Hey, Tommy, they're here. Wish we had heeded your warning. The song even prophetically identifies the key issue that the commies would use to gain entrance and welcome in our country, fake charges of racism. Yeah, listen to the whole song. We don't have time to provide it to you right now. The reason the left continues to berate us with charges of racism is that this has been the mantra they've used so successfully to unpack communism into our country. So I understand that now Russia is supporting Trump? Really? And there's going to be a new Russia intrusion into our election. I heard one guy postulate the theory that Russia does support Trump and hopes he wins because they know their own economic interests are tied to a prosperous America. I don't know if I agree with that. You know, I accept that it is a reasonable argument, but it comes from some assumptions that I don't believe hold. I believe the bear is anxious to rise again. My Russian friends consistently tell me, beware, the bear is only hibernating. It has a voracious appetite. It looks to me like the time of its hibernation is passing. She stirs from time to time to reassert and expand her dominance. The lessons she has learned about the economic limitations of Marxism are good, but in some ways, this can make her more of a threat. Unless revival comes to Russia. That's the key. She is destined to fulfill her prophecy, of course. As long as there is a strong America, but if America becomes communist, you know, how the communists in Russia would crow. This is what they predicted during Brezhnev, even earlier, really, Lenin and Stalin. They've long been watching for the fall of America to drop into their hands. Bernie is their man. Now, let's talk about the Bernie Buttigieg revolution. Bernie supporters are an angry mob, but Buttigieg supporters hate Christians, at least Bible-believing conservative Christians. What a perfect combination that would be. I brought out the fact that Bernie supporters have been exposed privately among themselves, talking about armed revolution if Bernie is not elected. This comes from their own mouths, reflexive pronoun and all. Bernie denies that he has any such intentions. When pressed, however, and he has to be pressed to get this much out of him, he sort of denounces them, but usually with caveats, such as, you know, whether zealous, or he goes into how angry some of his supporters are over the abuse of privilege and money interests and so forth. Look, I'm telling you, Bernie supporters are an angry mob, and he is their ringleader. I believe Rush is right. The guy can be bought. I believe he's a sellout, okay? I understand that. But this is the crowd he's whipping up. He keeps talking about the need for the working man to be represented in Washington. Look, no one has stood up for the working man like Donald Trump has, and delivered, by the way. And no group in this nation has done more to hurt the working man than the Democratic Party. But Bernie depends on the power of rhetoric to overcome the power of reality. It rouses the rebellious nature of the children of disobedience to hear him talk about caring for the working man, pitting the working man against the people who provide jobs for our economy, who bear all the risk and invest their blood, sweat, and tears into an idea or a vision that ends up creating jobs for thousands, even millions. The best friend the working man has is the man that provides work. The best friend of the working man is a president that has proved to provide jobs for everybody, virtually everybody. Some of these millennials need to get off meth and do the math. Har har. And I'm not saying all millennials are on meth. I'm making another point. Now, one of the symptoms is that a user may feel anxious, confused, unable to sleep, have mood swings, and become violent. All right. So not all Bernie supporters exhibit all of these symptoms, but enough do to give us all concern that these people act like they're on meth. They need to get off the meth and get on to the math. All right? When you do the math of Bernie's plan for America, the truth comes out. One of the promises he has made is to set the minimum wage at $15 per hour. And these kids, many of them, are saying, cool, automatic raise from 11 to 15 bucks. Yeah. Fist pump, high fives all around. Who cares what this does to the economy? Careless that this will necessarily drive up prices all around, virtually wiping out their raise. And these evil business owners, you know, always take advantage of these government intrusions to jack up their prices just a tad more than is needed to cover them. Have you noticed that? Oh, that's right. And yeah, it's true. It's the Democrat business owners who pull that. And truly. Anyway, I'm speaking truth, folks. The Democrat Party today is rotten at its core. It is a decaying corpse. The Democrats are feeding on their own dead body, destroying themselves. Let's not join them. Get out while you can. So anyway, here's a little something I picked up from a friend to us. I won't mention his name right now because I'm going to take objection to what he said. He's a Twitter favorite. And anyway, here you go. $15 an hour times 40 hours. Few at this level of employment actually get 40 hours anymore because of Obamacare regulations. But anyway, so that's $600 a week times 52 gives you $31,200 a year. Bernie Sanders is also proposing, however, an increase in taxes to 52%. So 52% of your income goes to the government. And that's to pay for all the other stuff he wants to give away, by the way, free healthcare, all the rest, free education. So everyone will live off government subsidy and you'll all be slaves of the government. And like Bloomberg has already said, if you are an old person and you get cancer, well, you'll be told that it's time to die. After all, the government can't be expected to commit the resources necessary to sustain a life that's so far spent. So we're going to kill our old people and we're going to say, kill our babies. What a monstrous bunch of people these are. Nazis all, wicked and unreasonable. Death is their answer to virtually every social problem. They're the final solution crowd anyway. Anyway, my friend here claims Bernie wants to give everyone living on a minimum wage a raise to $15 an hour and then increase their income taxes to 52%. On anyone making over $29,000 per year. He calculates this out to show that while you're making $15 an hour under Bernie, by the time you pay the taxes, your real earning averages out to about $7 an hour. Now, my friend might have some resources and information I don't have. I'm going to offer that. But I went online, did a little research. On the Bernie page explaining his tax plan, the standard deduction on working Americans will be reduced from presently $24,888 for those filing jointly to $12,000. And so after the standard deduction, those earning $31,500 a year, 15 an hour times 40 and so on, will have a taxable income of only $9,800. And according to Bernie's tax tables, they will pay zero income tax. Now his table's deceptive because you look at it, it looks like nobody's paying a tax. But anyway, that's ludicrous. The 52% is on those making $10 million or more. Here's both the foolishness and the evil of Bernie's plan, however. His strategy is to shift the tax burden to the rich, which effectively it already is. But let's start the rich at, say, $100,000 a year. And anyone listening to me knows, today, that's not rich. That's probably comfortable, but not rich. They will pay 27%, and that's not too far off from where it is now. Those making $200,000 or more pay 35%. Those making $500K or more pay 45%. Those making $2 million or more pay 50%, and anyone over $10 million pays 52%. And here's the point. When you add up all that it will cost to implement Bernie's giveaway plan, there will not be enough revenue in his scheme to cover the costs. Everyone who has looked at this has come to the same conclusion. There is, on both sides of the aisle, as they say, there is no way Bernie can pay for all he's proposing to do with the tax scheme he has proposed. And in fact, if he went to total confiscation of all wealth, it would require 100% of the GDP, and still he would be a few billion short of what's going to be needed to make the government the sole provider for all Americans of all the things he wants to give away. It simply does not add up. Now, it appeals to people who don't want to live with the anxiety of having to fend for themselves. It appeals to a generation that has grown up having virtually everything handed to them. It appeals to people of low character who do not want to take on the responsibilities of liberty, who are willing to trade their freedom for a handout. But it is repulsive to real Americans. It's repulsive to the people who believe in the reward of hard work, who delight to see what God will do with their lives as they live trusting Him for His provision under freedom. A God who does not reward laziness, however, a God who does not reward infidelity, a cause of some poverty, a God who does not reward indolence, who does not reward vice, you see? But this government program rewards all of that. Now, God punishes these things with the reality of what they bring. They bring poverty and waste. The government is going to pretend to cover that cost, and it will not work. It will go bankrupt. Every communist country does. Guys like Bernie come along and tell these lazy types and these immoral people who have little, if any, initiative or character, who think everyone else owes them a living. He appeals to that crowd. And our education system has grown that crowd exponentially. And the question remaining is, are there enough real Americans left to stop this insanity? Look, here's my solution. Every one of these people who want communism, there's plenty of communism out there. Go to China and enjoy. Really, I'm serious. You don't want to live under capitalism? Okay, we're not forcing you to stay. Leave. Go to China. Go to Venezuela. Just get out of here. Why should we allow you to take away our liberties just because you want government ownership of our lives? We say, if you want communism, I know where you can find it. In fact, I would advocate, let's create a fund that will buy your ticket to any communist country you choose and get out of here. I've got to close, but here's a picture of the difference between Trump supporters and Bernie supporters. Bernie supporters burn an American flag outside a Trump rally, offending, deeply offending, and angering millions of patriots and servicemen and women who fought for the liberties symbolized by that flag, not to speak of the mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters and wives and husbands who lost a loved one fighting for our liberties. And they have to watch these people burn our flag. And no Democrat speaks out. No Democrat decries the offensive behavior of these America-hating, God-despising commies. But some other guy burns an LGBTQ flag, offending the queers in our country. That's their own word for themselves, so calm down. And are you ready for this? That guy gets 16 years in prison. It is offensive and wicked and evil. And I hope Trump pardons him. Can you believe it? And why? Because it was a hate crime. Burning the American flag is not a hate crime? Of course it is. It's a hate crime against all Americans who spilled their blood on foreign lands to protect our liberties. Hey, if you can burn the American flag under the protection of free speech, you can sure burn an LGBTQ flag as a free speech protest. Stop this lunacy. Stop it now. Join me in spiritual warfare. Get my book, God's War. Go to godswar2020.com and enlist in the battle for America. I've lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. You let me know you see they're on. Email me by going to our website at brainmassage.net. Find the contact button and send me an email. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church. But whatever else you do today, go to godswar2020.com.